Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Happy Tuesday morning to you. James J. here, our co-host Melissa K. with us.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good day out there. You can call up and join the conversation anytime, everybody. 715-424-2600. Looking forward to talking with you. We've had some fun with our listeners today already. Mm-hmm. Mel and I will be getting into some fun stuff in a little bit. We got the happiest and least happy states in America. Got that one coming up a little bit later. Got some good stories of the day we'll be getting into. A bunch of other fun stuff as well. But we kick things off in the 9 o'clock hour with our entertainment news. And yes, another 80s classic is getting a sequel. And this time it's Goonies.
I saw that. I didn't look into it yet, though.
Now, to be fair, this has been rumored for, I want to say, almost 10 years.
A long time.
Yeah. And it just looks like finally there is a lot of meat on the bone with this one. According to the rumor, the original kids are returning. Sean Astin, Corey Feldman, Ki-Hoo Kwan, Josh Brolin, Jeff Cohen, Cary Grant, and Martha Plimpton. The movie would film next year for a release sometime in 2026 or 27. This is not official, but it comes from Britain's not always reliable tabloids, The Sun. But they're just picking up on some actual, things that are building. A source says, quote, "The Goonies reboot has been talked about for a long time, but it's finally been given the go-ahead to move forward. The team is excited about the opportunity to bring the magic of the original film to a new audience." Mm-hmm. So one of the factors of this is the where Everything Everywhere All at Once. It was a movie about 2-3 years ago, won Best Picture, and its co-star Ki-Hoo Kwan won Best Supporting Actor. And kind of came back out of nowhere, and people were like, "Oh my God, he's back! You know, we missed him. It's Data and all this stuff and everything, or Data." It's kind of interesting when another movie can do that for an old movie. But a lot of people went back and started watching the old movie again. Mm-hmm. And it kind of got brought about this idea that, hey, maybe we should do a sequel. I'm not a fan of these things. And I don't think that they tend to work out. But I will say I like a reimagining, or I like kind of a continuation of a story, and that's pretty much what a sequel is. What they've done with the Ghostbuster movies with Paul Rudd, I enjoyed the first one. I didn't see the second one. I really enjoyed the first one. And they did such a good job with that one that's made me a little more open to these.
Okay.
What I'm more tired of is the prequel. I really don't like prequels. I don't know. You already know how the story ends, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, how they got there is kind of interesting sometimes, but for the most part, I will say arguably the greatest Star Wars movie I've ever seen is a prequel in Rogue One. So, I mean, it can be done well, I think, but I tend to not like
them. It's often done really well with books.
Yes. Oh, completely different story for me. I'll read a prequel of a book, of a story I like, anytime. Yeah.
They can be a lot more nuanced than a movie can be.
Yeah. And I love when a good storyteller can take you through, to the present, to the past, to the present, to the past. And I find that to be some of the best storytelling I've ever read.
Part of the reason that it's hard to do it with movies is because you cannot get the actors.
Yeah.
They can't be younger. The original ones.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Makes it a little tough.
Yeah. You got to cast somebody else.
It was interesting having Pam on earlier and her talking about Carl. I was thinking about him this morning, and one of the things that popped in my head was conversation. Quite a few times, Carl and I would talk about people and going back to movie theaters. And this is, of course, before the pandemic and so many things. But there was already a huge decline in people going to the theaters. Mm-hmm. And one of the topics we would come across all the time was like this. This theater in California, in Southern California, had a playground put in inside the theater so that parents could come with their kids and let the kids play in the playground and they watch a movie. That didn't go well.
It doesn't seem like a winning strategy.
No.
Kids are loud on the playground, which they should be. They're kids. They're having fun.
Well,
but you kind of don't want that in a movie.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't go well. I never heard anything other than that article about it. I haven't heard how it did or anything. But, the fact that there's not more of those blowing up all over the place tells you a little bit.
No, instead they're putting in Lazy Boys.
Yeah, yeah. They're letting people drink in theaters. They're putting in Lazy Boys. They're doing a lot of those things.
The last movie that I went to in a movie theater, which was recently here, it was for Twisters. Mm-hmm. Everybody that came in brought a blanket.
Huh.
I didn't know that was a requirement.
I'd never heard of that. Wow.
But, yeah, they bring in their blankie, they buy snacks and drinks at concessions, and then it's really like kicking back in your living room and watching a movie.
Oh, I dig that. Oh, I like that. When I went and saw Deadpool and Wolverine, there wasn't anything like that, but I was really stunned by how many, and it's also that movie, but how many young people I saw there. Because the last time I had been to the movies, it was the complete opposite. I didn't see any young people. And it was a pretty young, hip movie and everything. At least that's what I think it was. I think it was young and hip. I just said hip, which instantly...
You ruined it, James. You ruined it.
I really did. another thing that they're trying to do to get people to come to movie theaters are these popcorn boxes. They become pretty popular, and they're actually doing pretty well, and there is a portion of people that are going to theaters to collect them and everything. We stopped collecting things. They used to be such a thing.
Well, you know why, James. Don't you?
I'm not sure.
Because they stopped putting really good toys in cereal boxes.
Oh, that is a big part of it,
and
yes.
They also have really cheaped out on the toys at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like, they're not even worth getting a Happy Meal over. When I was in high school, we would go to McDonald's or Burger King just to get a Happy Meal to get the little toy.
100%.
The collectibles.
I was so with you on this. Yes.
Yeah. But now they're not worth it.
Well, and they used to, like, fast food places especially used to have, like, glasses or special things that you wanted to collect.
Remember the glasses from McDonald's with all the characters on them?
I wish I still had them.
And the plates.
Yeah, the plates. I forgot about the plates. Oh, you're right. Yes.
I have a friend who still has a collection of McDonald's plates.
That's so cool. More power to that person. That person is awesome. So this stuff can work if they do it right and you find the right people that really will be into it and everything. And AMC theaters are selling a special drink to honor Beetlejuice Beetlejuice. They're trying something a little bit different. It's called the Sandworm Slayer, and it's a 24-ounce cocktail made with blue and black raspberry juice and so-called premium vodka. Okay. And it's topped with gummy worms.
Oh, I would try that.
I would too, except for the price. It is $31 for it.
Oofta.
And when you're already paying how much you are to go to the movies and everything, practically mortgaging your house,
That's a pretty expensive drink.
AMC actually responded to the post. They claimed that the Sandworm Slayer is actually only $21, but the one that went viral was purchased in Illinois, where it's more expensive because of the state's liquor pricing laws. They say it's $21 in 92% of AMC locations. However, the $31 drink was allegedly bought in California, not Illinois, and no word back from AMC on that one. That's one of those things. If you're going to the theater and part of the reason you're going is because you want to not only see the movie but buy this drink, $10 is probably not going to stop you. So they've already won in that department.
Mm-hmm. At $31 or $30 I wouldn't buy it. At $21, I probably would.
I know I've rambled about this too much, and I apologize, but I keep eyeballing this Living Color concert coming up where they're going to be performing in Madison, and I've never seen them. They're my favorite band. I looked at the tickets, and I was a little surprised because the tickets weren't that bad, but every other ticket price I look at for any other band, big or small, are just insane nowadays, and I come back from it, and I'm like, who can afford to go to these things? Mm-hmm. And I wonder it about movies all the time, too. Like, it's not so much once in a blue moon. A lot of us can afford that. It's the people that go to like almost every big blockbuster. I've got a friend of mine, my buddy Will. He's big about this, and he's gone to every blockbuster this summer. He's a stand-up comedian. I don't know how he's affording that. I'm not going to look into it.
He probably doesn't buy any concessions, James.
No, he doesn't. No. Will is very adamant about that. I don't even know if he'd bring a blanket in. I don't know.
Well, that wouldn't cost him anything.
No.
I have a friend who goes to to shows, concerts regularly in Madison. She said that the concert she wanted to see, and I don't remember what it was off the top of my head, the tickets were gone in like seconds. Mm-hmm. And then what people are doing, which I think is just awful. It's awful. They buy tickets on Ticketmaster and then they go turn around and they resell them for triple or quadruple what they bought them for.
Yeah.
Not okay. And I don't know how that's legal. How is that legal, James?
This is, you know, when I was a kid, scalping tickets was a big deal. People would do that and they'd stand outside the, you know, United Center or wherever it was the event was being held at, and they'd try to sell the tickets, and usually an undercover cop would stop them and you'd see all these things. But you can get away with it online. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be a scalper online, you just can't in real life. Like, it doesn't, you're absolutely right, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I mean, I understand the need to be able to, okay, I got these tickets, I plan to go, and now, you know, grandma's in the hospital, I can't go, so I want to, you know, get these tickets to somebody else to use, sell them. But being able to jack up the price so much just doesn't seem like it should be allowed.
Yeah, how you would just...
I mean, Ticketmaster itself is also already a travesty.
Yeah.
So yeah. Now we're making it worse.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough one to decipher, I admit, but it does seem like something that needs to be looked at and worked on. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a limit on how many tickets you can buy or something like that, but there's things that they could do. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of other notes entertainment-wise. Donald Glover announced yesterday that he is postponing his remaining Childish Gambino shows to focus on his physical health for a few weeks. Quote, hold on to your tickets. All tickets will be honored for the upcoming dates in North America when they are rescheduled. Thanks for the privacy. Thanks for the support. And thanks for the love. Mm-hmm. Glover had less than a month left of shows in North America. The tour was supposed to end on October 3rd in his hometown of Chicago. He performs in Europe starting October 31st, but there's no word if he is rescheduled those dates yet or not. I think Donald Glover is one of the most talented people on the planet. I wish him well. Hope he is back touring soon, because this is his final tour. He's retiring the Childish Gambino whole act and everything. So it'll be kind of cool to see him be able to wrap it up on his own ways and not have his, you know, the outside factors keep him from doing it.
Yeah.
Our good friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater probably have their ears burning over there. We've been mentioning that. We mentioned them a couple times. They've got a couple of really cool things coming up and a whole season of cool things coming up as they celebrate 50 years.
Woo, 50 years. That's awesome.
And they kick off their 50th season with Drinking Habits. Get your tickets for that.
That's opening soon.
Yeah, September 26th is opening night for Drinking Habits. They got an amazing cast, wonderful group of people behind this one, and a great way to kick off the season. It's a fun show. Be sure to get your tickets for that. And keep in mind that next month in October, they got Spooky Karaoke Night.
I saw this. This looks like so much fun.
From 6 to 9, all ages are welcome. We'll have a costume contest and other fun. Concessions will be available. This is not only a fun time, but a great way to help out the arts, help out local theater, and support local.
And have a chance to get up on stage and sing your favorite musical song. I want to maybe perhaps a little spooky.
Ooh, I want to go up there. I want to do Put a Spell on You.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, I think that could be fun.
Start working on it. You got time, James.
I really have to work on it. I'll look at next year's. That's how much time I'm going to need. I would love that.
See, the best part about doing something like this at the theater is there's no judgment. You have an incredible, supportive audience out there cheering you on no matter what your performance is like.
I put a spell on you. Oh, it's a good song.
People would clap.
Maybe because it's over.
Stop it.
We want you to get your tickets and find out more at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Mm-hmm. Melissa and I will be back with more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR.
Got out of town on a boat from the southern islands. Sailing to reach before a father.
We hope you're having a great, great day out there. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Melissa and James here with you. Kind of continuing a little bit of our entertainment topic, and this is an interesting one. Game shows aren't just there to entertain you and help you pass the time. They can also sharpen that big brain of yours.
Ooh, yeah.
That's according to experts who say that they can boost your problem-solving skills, improve memory, and strengthen your mind. Mm-hmm. Game shows make you pay close attention, quickly process information, and either problem-solve or recall knowledge.
Yeah, this is true.
As one neurologist puts it, quote, this engages numerous networks in the brain in an engaging and enjoyable way, which also enhances learning.
Right. It makes it fun.
I don't know. I think that a lot of us may have learned this from our parents. I know my dad used to do this a bit. My mom tried a little bit, but my dad was really good at it, making learning into games, you know, flashcards, those kind of things.
Yeah. I think learning should be fun. So adding games into it, it just makes sense.
And I think that for a lot of us, you know, you and I are very similar in this regard. We love to learn. We love, and it doesn't matter if it's a topic that has to do with our jobs or our hobbies or anything. Just give us something to learn or something to learn new, and we enjoy those kind of things. There's a lot of people out there that just enjoy knowledge in general. But then there's that topic you run into, oh, I don't know, you know, and that's where the flashcards or the games come in. They really help you kind of, you know, learn some of this stuff. I don't know about you, Melissa, but I've had to do this for roles before, where I have so many lines and I'm having trouble learning them, and I turn it into a game to kind of like help me kind of get these things down.
Okay. I can't say that I've ever done that. I learn by just repetition. Mm-hmm. And make yourself do it. I mean, sometimes that is the truth about learning something, is that we do have to put the work in. If we can make it fun, that's great. But if you can't, you just gotta do it.
Well, I stand up on my hill whenever I can on this topic when it comes to this, because it also, while they don't mention it in the article, another thing that this does, and this is from neurologists, this is from people that know way more than I do about the human brain, game shows, Sudoku, crossword puzzles, all these things, keep doing them, everybody, because that is exercise for your brain.
Mm-hmm. Mahjong.
Yeah.
All of them. Games that make you count.
Games Scrabble, board game.
You know, puzzle things out.
Yeah. Even board games, even simple board games, you know, can help you do that and everything. And doing these things once, twice a week is really, it's all the exercise your brain, and your brain could always use more exercise, but at the least, doing this once or twice a week can really keep your brain healthy and can stave off Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's going to prevent them from happening completely. Right. But, you know, there's certainly a lot of other things you want to do to add on to that. But that is one of the key factors.
Just like you don't want your muscles in your body to atrophy, you don't want your brain to either. So you got to work it. It's a muscle.
Yeah. And the more you're able to do that, I find the more I enjoy vegging out. Like, I'm able to kind of just veg out and watch a show or football or something like that, in part because my brain knows, okay, we've already worked. We've done our work today.
Bit. Yeah, we're good.
Now we could just be a vegetable. Now we could, you know. So I find if all you ever do is just kind of sit on the couch and be Peggy Bundy and just kind of sit there, you know, you're not gonna. I don't think you can enjoy it as enjoyable as
feeling like you earned it.
So it's an even, you know, that's an even. If that's the kind of carrot at the end of the stick for you, you know, there's another reason to do it. But we want you to take care of yourselves. We want your brains healthy. Keep doing these things, everybody. And kind of I would really be leaning into this if I was game shows like Jeopardy, Price of Right, a lot of these are getting new hosts or have new hosts, and with that you're going to lose a certain percentage of people. There's actually some really interesting articles about that, how many people found that they were this happened recently with Jeopardy, where there was a lot of people that found that the reason they were watching it was not Jeopardy but
Alex Trebek.
And the game is still the same, but they just don't enjoy it as much. I would think that you lean in.
A host does a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. A good host like him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to be fair, a lot of game shows are watched by our older population. So all the more reason I would lean into this and be like, hey, you know, this can really watch game shows. It can help your brain. It seems like a good marketing idea. For years, people have been trying to add cream to soda. The show Laverne and Shirley had a running gag on this in the 70s and everything. Shout out to Laverne and Shirley. There have been viral trends, including dirty soda and people where they mix ice cream or flavored syrups or anything. But Dr. Pepper has legitimized the lunacy by partnering with Coffee Mate to create the perfect dirty Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
Coffee Mate has come out with a coconut lime flavored creamer specifically made for crafting a dirty Dr. Pepper. The creamer will be available nationwide, or it's already available nationwide and everything. And I don't know how well it's doing. So I don't know if you can find it just about anywhere. I believe that they even released this back a couple months ago. By now, you might be able to find it, but you can definitely find it online, and it's not expensive. I found it very cheap online. Mm-hmm. But I this is, again, another market, a smart marketing idea, I think.
Yeah, branching out. Would you put it in your coffee, though?
Well, this particular one I might not try, but if it was a cherry Coke, I might think about it. I might. I'm not really a Dr. Pepper guy, but cherry Coke is the only soda I drink, and I could see maybe doing it with that. I know that my mother would do it. I know she would try.
Well, you don't have to put it in Dr. Pepper.
No,
I put it in cherry Coke.
Right. But if I'm getting this right, it is a coffee that you put the Dr. Pepper. Oh, no. Okay.
No, it's a creamer that you add to your soda.
Gotcha.
So my question is, would you add it to your coffee? Because it's a coffee creamer.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, adding it to my coffee. I would try it in my coffee. Yeah, I would try it. Because, coffee, especially if you make it the way I do. I make like 8-10 cups. And if I waste a cup, I feel bad, but I don't feel horrible.
Yeah, but coconut lime coffee.
Nah.
I don't know.
Nah, not my thing. No.
Coconut
Take it back.
Coffee, yes, I would do it. But the lime in there, I think it would be better in a soda, and I would try that for sure.
Coconut is one of those weird ones for me where in certain things, I can't stand it. In other stuff, I really, really love it. Pina colada is probably my best example. I like almost anything pina colada flavored. And that's got coconut in it, right?
That's kind of the base of it.
That's about it for me. Me and coconut, that's the only time we hang out.
And I would try anything coconut. I can't say I'd like them all, but I like coconuts.
That's cool.
Macaroons, so good.
Oh, I will say, when I was a kid, I did have one of those coconut drinks where, they open up, they cut open a coconut and they just put a straw in it and you drink and stuff. That was really good. Yeah, it was really good. That was very good. And there's a huge, I guess it's been around for a while, but there seems to be an uptick in people drinking banana water and coconut water and a lot of those.
Well, coconut water is very, very hydrating. For you.
I didn't know that.
It's very good to rehydrate your body, yes.
I will have to look into that more. That sounds quite interesting.
But you also have to check to see how much sugar is added. You gotta be a informed purchaser.
Yeah. Read
labels.
Boy, reading labels is like our new, not new, it's been around for 20-some years, but it is one of our pastimes. Like, we really, really have to look at the back of labels of, I would say, just about everything.
Well, yeah, if you don't want things added to your food or to your body that are not good for you, it's really important to read labels.
Mm-hmm. We will take a quick pause. We'll check in with our state, local, and sports news. We'll take care of some partners. And when Melissa and I get back, we got the happiest and least happy states in America. And we have the 10 best 10 states with the best economies and the 10 worst.
Ooh, okay.
Got a couple of interesting state conversations coming up for you. On 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate the company. We are got good stuff lined up for you to take you to the top of the hour. And this one right here, these next two back-to-back are kind of interesting. We're talking about American states, and our first one is the happiest and least happy states in America.
Okay.
An annual study found the happiest states in the U.S. in 2024. All 50 states were ranked based on 30 different metrics, including stuff like emotional and physical health, career satisfaction, unemployment, life expectancy, depression, sleep, and weather.
Okay.
And the 10 happiest states in the U.S., according to these requirements, are Hawaii, Maryland, New Jersey, Utah, Delaware, Minnesota, Connecticut, Idaho, Nebraska, and Massachusetts.
Happiest?
Happiest. According
Utah
to the...
Utah and Nebraska?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the 10 least happy are Louisiana, Arkansas, West Virginia, Tennessee, New Mexico, Alaska, Alabama, Oklahoma, Mississippi, and Kentucky.
There's a lot of southern states in there, and a lot of poverty in those southern states.
Yeah. And when you're looking at factors like unemployment or depression or life expectancy, those things are going to pull down a lot of these, you know, places where, you know, I've known a lot of people in, I just happened to have lived next to and known some people from Louisiana in my life, and they are some of the happier people I've ever met. That's one group of people, you know, out of a whole state, obviously. So
yeah, but they weren't living there anymore, James.
That's another part of that factor, too. So I don't know, you know, verbatim how much you could take some of these things, but I do think that that's an important note to mention whenever we're talking about these. Anytime we do these, we have our southern states oftentimes, you know, caught up in that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have to look at poverty when you're talking about any of these things regarding statewide, you know, surveys or what have you.
Yeah.
The other thing down there also is weather, and they were hit with some of the hottest weather they have ever experienced down there this year.
It's been crazy hurricane season in Florida, in part because they've gone stretches where they don't have any hurricanes, or they're not even naming them and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's been really, but the heat and what's happening with the ocean, it's been very, very alarming. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Minnesota. They finished sixth, just outside of the top five. Looking at Illinois, finished in 17th, Iowa at 19th, and Wisconsin at 21. So right about the middle of the pack.
All right.
Okay. Not bad. Not bad.
We'll take it. Not like we have a lot of other options. Or we could just do another survey and get different answers.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go to WalletHub.com, you can to find the full article. And I do think WalletHub does a good job with these, but they're also so... you know, kind of
you're
folly.
A little subjective.
Yeah, subjective is a much better word. They really are. And I think you anything like this, I think you take with a grain of salt.
Just like your fitness trackers.
Yeah.
You know when it's an approximation.
So, you know, there's a handful of things in life you can pretty much take verbatim. You know, these are not some of them.
Right.
Oftentimes, morning show talk stuff is not something
it's
that, you know.
Generalizations.
Yeah. Let's see here. This next one is interesting to me, too. Some people have a general sense for the aspects of the economy that are strong and weak nationally, and everyone has a sense of the economy of their own wallets. Mm. But what about within your state? CNBC just put out lists of states with the best and worst economies, considering many factors, including job growth, state finances, like fiscal reserves, pension obligations, and credit ratings, and the health of the housing market, new business formations, and foreign investment in each state. As a side note, foreign investment in your state is something you really need to be paying attention to.
It's important.
Yeah. Overall, the state with the best economy right now is Florida. That's an interesting one. That is an interesting one. As I mentioned earlier, I got some friends of mine that are near the Miami area and everything, and they would not agree with this list. So here are the rest of the top 10 states with humming economies, and that is their words, humming economies. Texas is number 2, Tennessee number 3, North Carolina at 4, Arizona at 5, Utah at 6, Georgia 7, Nevada at 8, Idaho at 9, Delaware at 10.
Huh.
The state where the numbers look the worst, and not going to be surprising to many of us, Mississippi, Hawaii, New Hampshire, Louisiana, Kansas, Kentucky, a three-way tie between Rhode Island and Maine and Vermont. These rankings were part of a bigger report on the top states for business in 2024. The economy was one component, along with stuff like infrastructure, the quality of life, technology and innovation, and the cost of doing business. Infrastructure is a strong part of this one, and another reason why we look at our southern states and I personally feel for them. For that overall list, as far as what I just mentioned there, Virginia ranked as the top state for business, followed by North Carolina, Texas, Georgia, and Florida. Hawaii ranked last, followed by Mississippi, Alaska, Louisiana, and Montana. And two of the other bigger states, California and New York, are in the middle of the road on both of these lists.
Interesting.
Let's give you a bit of an idea on those. They didn't give me anything as far as the rankings of state by state. It's just at CNBC.com. You can find the entire list if you like CNBC.com. It just kind of goes through. So, oh, wait a minute. Here we go. I found it. All right. So let's take a look here and see America's top states for business in 2024. We've got, let's see, Ohio at 7, Michigan at 9, Illinois at 15, and Wisconsin comes in at 21 again.
We're a solid middle of the pack.
And right ahead of New York at 22 and California at 23. So it tells you a little bit about where Wisconsin ranks in these things. They're also one behind Alabama, which is interesting to me.
Yeah.
But I will say, if you noticed, they dropped the whole flat tax thing. You know, you don't hear them talking about that anymore. The economists spoke up and like, hey, that doesn't work. that doesn't make any sense. The reason that a Texas or a Florida is doing well in some of these categories is not because of that. Outside of a handful of businesses, or if you are a professional athlete, not paying taxes does not necessarily benefit you. It may benefit you individually. It does not benefit you community-wise. It doesn't benefit you state-wise. Again, got a lot of friends in the South, and one of the major things on their mouths is infrastructure and not having enough tax dollars. There's a lot of issues when it comes to those things. Taxes are not some boogeyman. There's something we all have to do, and we all have to do to get by, to make it through this world. It's not necessarily the way that they spin taxes is interesting to me, because there's it almost seems logical to me that, well, of course, you know, we all live in this world together. We all live in this community together. Of course, I would help with paying the roads. I'm on them. My neighbor's on them. The person across the street's on them. We all pitch in on this, you know, so we have decent roads. That makes sense, I would think. It just, I don't know. I do know that we got to get to timeout. We got to get to break. We'll go ahead and do that. I do want to mention, though, before we do, that we have something very exciting happening in our country right now. We have our first presidential debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. It is going on tonight. We have special coverage of the debate beginning right here at Civic Media at 7:30.
Yeah. That is exciting. I'm glad that we are covering it as well.
Yeah. And I don't know. Again, I admit I'm a political guy. I grew up in politics and everything, so I find these things very interesting. And when you have two people who are so very different getting into a debate like this, especially after the last debate. Oh, where all anybody was talking about was their golf scores. Like I really look forward to seeing these two debate, and tomorrow morning having something actually worth talking about politically.
It'll be interesting to see how it goes tonight, how closely the questions are answered, how factually the questions are answered. I'm interested to hear the responses.
I'm very curious to see if. Well, if I'm being blunt, if Mr. Trump can have any class in this situation and do the job, speak when he has the time allowed and all that, and not be insulting, I'm curious to see if he answers questions, because oftentimes what he does is the trick a lot of politicians do. Well, let me tell you about my opponent. Okay, what about you? What are you going to do? They quickly deflect, or they change the topic and go a different direction. And I'm very curious to see how she does in this situation. She has never been in a situation like this, and she was kind of thrust into this situation. So I'm very curious to see how both of them do when it comes to this. We'll be covering it live right here. Find it on the Civic Media app. Listen to Terry and Todd. They will be covering this for you. Be sure to join us on the Civic Media app, 7:30. You can find it right there.
That's right.
Let's go ahead and get to timeout. We'll come back after taking care of our partners and have some fun, as we'll take you to the top of the hour. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. We're going to take you to the top of the hour. Got some fun stuff to do it. We'll get into our schedule. Got some good stories of the day to get to. And this one right here, that could be a That Ain't Right story. You guys decide with the play-at-home version at home. The candy company Branches is giving people the opportunity to stay in an elaborate candy corn-themed hotel suite this fall.
Oh.
The rooms are exclusively offered at two Great Wolf Lodge locations, one in Panaco Mountains in Pennsylvania and one in Gurnee, Illinois. So kind of close, not too far.
Okay.
You can book your stay now, but only while there is availability between September 22nd, which is the first day of fall, and Halloween. The rooms are being offered on a first-come, first-served basis. They sleep 5 to 6 guests, and the rate starts at about $350 per night. So that ain't cheap. It ain't going to be a cheap stay.
Well, but it's not any more expensive than a nice hotel.
Right. The suite is decked out top to bottom in orange, yellow, and white, along with actual candy corn designs. And yes, you will get candy corn. In fact, every booking comes with a 1-year supply of candy corn.
1 year. Oh, my goodness.
Which is an 11-ounce bag that they will be shipped to your house once a week for 52 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. 11 ounces every week?
Every week.
And 11 ounces would last me a year.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. If you want to, you can go to Instagram and check out Branch's Candy, and they've got a full breakdown of this.
Brock's.
Oh, I'm sorry. Brock's Candy.
That's okay.
Honestly, I'm 47 and I just learned that. I just learned that. I've never heard anybody say it out loud in my defense. I've never heard it.
And I don't know if that's how you say it, but there's no N in the word. So it's either Brock's or Brack's.
Once again, you're definitely closer than I am on this. It's kind of cool to see how they made the room. And it really, they are not kidding. If you are a candy corn lover.
They are decked out. If you like the colors yellow, orange, and white, you will very much like the room. I like the little cart that looks like a popcorn cart.
Yeah, yeah.
That is really cute.
That's a nice touch.
It's got an orange table with like throw blankets that have candy corn, big candy corn pieces on them. It's a cool looking room.
Speaking of the company, they have a new product out called Mellow Cream Autumn Leaves Candy, which includes 5 flavors, salted butterscotch, pumpkin spice, sweet maple, and caramel apple and space cider. I want to try this. This doesn't look too bad.
Oh, they sound good.
It's and they look like they're just kind of, I don't know if they're gummies or if they're just that kind of like that gummy material or whatever. But, ooh, I want to try those. Oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah, I don't see a picture of them on the article that I'm looking at. But, I mean,
I gotta
sweet
find
maple,
them.
Caramel apple, salted butterscotch. I mean, we've had a lot of salted caramel. I don't think I've seen too much salted butterscotch yet.
I haven't seen that one. I like spice cider. I like that. But, honestly, anything with maple. Anything with maple.
You're a sucker for maple.
I really am. I really am. I'd try that. No, maple hotel room. Maybe I'd try that one. That'd be interesting.
Try a maple glaze on top of some mashed potatoes for you.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, you may have just gotten the hack that my mother's been trying to get for 40 years.
You're welcome, Pam.
Yeah, you might have figured something out there. We take a look at our schedule for the day before we get some really good stories of the day. And one of those is, of course, Midday Magazine. Shout out to Pam Hilke and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out with our good show, Midday Magazine. Today in part one at 4 o'clock, join us as we welcome our Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
All right. We have
Promise with us. We're looking forward to that. We're going to be talking with her about some great events in our area. Mm-hmm. And in part two, it's Let's Talk Real Estate with our good friends from Coldwell Banker, Sear Realtors. David Farnborough will be joining us. Got a great topic for you today. It's going to be a good one.
Oh, it's always good to talk with David.
Did want to mention that the Red Cross is in a critical call for blood right now. We've talked about this a couple of times, that they have been, especially over the 4th of July holiday, this is how far back this is going, that they are in need. They were hit really hard over the 4th of July holiday. We have a couple of opportunities for you locally. One of them coming up the 13th from 10 to 3 over at the YMCA right here in town. To join them this Friday, the 13th, from 10 to 3 over to South County YMCA at 601 West Grand Avenue.
Yes.
And keep in mind, on Tuesday, September 17th, you've got 2 different opportunities next Tuesday.
Right. Yep, that's with the Blood Centers, North Central Wisconsin.
Yeah, 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. You can go to the old East Junior High School from 10 to 3 and donate over there, or from 1230 to 530 at McMillan Library. Mm-hmm. A lot of opportunities to be a hero. You don't need a cape. You don't need a backstory or a cool name or a catchphrase. You could be a hero just by doing these kind of things, everybody.
Mm-hmm. And there were so many blood donations that were canceled because of the hot weather this year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there were so many that were just straight out canceled. Mm-hmm. So if you can.
We mentioned this earlier. Just one more time, I want to remind everybody that tomorrow morning and the second and fourth Wednesday of every month, Heroes Cafe going from 7:30 to 9:30.
Mm-hmm. It's over at Crossview Church. It's a great time to just fellowship, chat with people who can commiserate with you.
All veterans, military and police, and firefighters are welcome. Spread the word about this great event, American Heroes Cafe, 7:30 to 9:30 at Crossview Church, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Mm-hmm. And yesterday on Midday Magazine, we had on Colin Ray, a wonderful country singer. Mm-hmm. Encourage you to check that interview out. Everybody go to civicmedia.us and look under shows under Midday Magazine. Sally and I had a great time talking with Colin. Wonderful human being. it just could not be nicer. And he's coming to town, everybody.
Ooh, right. That's right.
Thursday, September 26th, Colin will be at the Performing Arts Center here in Wisconsin Rapids. Come check out that show. Let's make sure that he's got a great crowd. And you can get a preview of it, if you like, by checking out the interview.
Yes.
And be listening this week for a chance to win tickets.
Ooh, win tickets?
Yes. We are going to be giving away tickets for this show, not only here at WFHR, but over at 105.5 WIRI on the Sunrise Show. I'll be giving away a pair of tickets over there as well.
Awesome.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You can get tickets right now at SavorTheArts.com, SavorTheArts.com. Keep in mind, when you are buying tickets, not only are you buying a great night, a memorable night, but you are also supporting the arts in this state and helping our great friends at Savor the Arts keep continuing the work that they are doing.
Yes, they bring in some amazing acts and amazing shows.
And speaking of doing, helping them do the work that they continue to do, our United Way of Southwood and the Ems Counties has their 52nd annual United Way Day at McDonald's coming up.
Hey.
Wednesday, September 25th, join them as the United Way of Southwood and Ems Counties creates lasting change in our community through this event and through many other events. This is a great way to help them during campaign season and put back into your community.
Mm-hmm. It's an easy way to help donate and get some McDonald's.
And you get some Mickey D's out of it. I mean, it's not too bad. Not
2 weeks from today.
It's a pretty good, sweet deal right there. So a couple of good stories of the day I wanted to make sure to get to. A wedding ring lost in 1963 just turned up 61 years later.
Whoa.
A guy in Kentucky named Glenn Gregory lost it near a tree on his farm that he planted with his wife Barbara right after they got married. They looked and looked and looked and never found it. Sadly, Glenn passed away in December. Barbara had him buried under the same tree. And finally just got around to adding the headstone this month. And while workers were digging a trench for it, they found the ring.
Oh, that's incredible.
I did not pre-read that. That one hit my heart. That one got my foolish romantic soul bad. That's good. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Sweet.
And how clever is this? A bunch of people in London raised over $4,000 to send a 63-year-old street cleaner on a vacation.
Really?
His name is Paul Spears. He'd only been out of the UK once in his life and wanted to take a trip to Portugal. It turned out he couldn't take the money, though, because city workers aren't allowed to accept monetary gifts. So a travel website stepped up to help. A company called On the Beach decided, a great name for your company, by the way, a travel company, that's a great name, decided to hold a contest with a $4,000 trip to Portugal as the grand prize. These were the rules to enter. You had to be between the ages of 62 and 64, had to be loved by your community, and had to be a street cleaner in London. Oh, and finally, you had to have the last name Spears.
Oh, that's so great.
They got around the red tape, and his company okayed it. They also matched the original amount people donated.
Wow.
It's being donated to a cancer charity nearby.
That's not only great for them stepping up to do that for this person, but what a great PR move for that company.
I mean, look at all the benefits, all the add-ons to this topic, and just from doing some good, just from being a company that actually has a soul. That's what can happen. All businesses, all you conglomerates out there, look what happens when you have a soul.
But you know, James, the On the Beach, they don't have any vacation packages that actually take you to a beach.
Oh, whoa, really?
That'd be funny. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
That would be hilarious. It is London. I mean, I don't know how many beaches are in London. I'm not sure. It's been a fun show today, and it's been all the more fun thanks to all of you out there. Thanks so much for the early calls and everything, everybody.
Absolutely. It was love having you join us on air.
We'll have fun tomorrow. Melissa and Seth and I will be hanging out with you tomorrow. We'll have some really fun, interesting topics lined up for you. Cannot wait to dive into them.
And I have to tell you, James, I figured out what mallow cream is.
Oh, what is it?
Or mellow cream. It's the same stuff that they make candy corn out of. It's just in different shapes, like those little pumpkins. It's the same stuff. It's nice. Made with corn syrup, food coloring, honey, and sugar.
Nice reporting, Mel. Nice reporting. Great show today.
You too.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.